So, Bishop Brennan, what do you see as the most significant aspect of LabFence as an organization?
I think the awareness of the need for healing and support for the victims and survivors of child abuse, especially sexual child abuse. I think that's the outstanding feature of the LabFence initiative, because I think that's the part of the whole child protection effort that we're making in the church and in some ways society generally. I think, at least in the Catholic Church, we've done a reasonably good job in implementing measures to protect children in our parishes, our schools, our camps, youth groups, and so on. There are many fewer instances of abuse, either by clergy or other church personnel, in more recent years, because of the, I think, those methods of protection or the means of protecting people have been, I think, working reasonably well. Not that there isn't room for improvement, there is. On-site visits every year, for example, I want to see that fingerprinting about, we started that as well here in this diocese. But I think the harder part is helping those who actually were abused to experience healing and peace, and to get to a better place in their own lives. And also pray for the restoration of faith for those whose faith was damaged or even lost because of the abuse they suffered from church personnel. When I was in Washington and in Baltimore, I did talk with some people who had been abused, particularly by Catholic clergy or by family members. I've not been able to actually, a couple of instances here, but very brief, here in West Virginia. So I don't know what my meeting with people would do for them. It may not do much at all. But the healing process needs to, I think, to go on. And we need to support that. So the LabFence initiative really does focus on, it brings to people's minds the reality of abuse, that there are real people, that whether they know them or not, people who have experienced this abuse. And we need to pray for them, pray with them, support them in other ways. That's what I see is the value of this approach. So that's why we talked about it. But yes, let's go forward.
How is it that you decided to bring LabFence to the diocese?
Was because it seemed to be a way to get at what I've seen as a big problem, an obstacle. How do we reach out to those who've been abused? What can we do to assist them in the process of healing and achieving internal peace and open peace with their others in their lives, you know, because this affects people. I've had couples that I prepared for marriage in my last parish. I remember particularly one case, the young woman had been abused in the family setting, and it was just very, she's getting married to a man, right? And she, but at the same time, she had, there's a kind of almost a fear of sexual relations. And had to really work through to help her to see that this man was different from the person who abused her. So I can see the ongoing effects in relationships too. So anything we can do to help people to overcome those obstacles, to actually be on a path towards peace within themselves and good relations with others, that's worth pursuing. The LabFence initiative seemed to be a way at least to raise consciousness among our people, and to show those who are victims and survivors of abuse that we do care about them. We're there for them. Do what we can to help them by prayer and other means, you know, talking, just listening. We'll see where it leads.
So far, what efforts has the diocese taken to promote reconciliation between the church and survivors of abuse?
Well, we do provide counseling, professional counseling to those who approach us having been abused, and they get to choose the counselor. We do have one that we certainly recommend who has a lot of experience in the area in that matter, but they can choose another counselor, and we pay for it. I have offered through lawyers representing people we've entered into settlements with to meet with their clients if they wish, but no one's taken me up on that offer. The settlements we have reached with people, I'm sure it brings some satisfaction, but I don't think monetary settlements bring healing. I think that takes something else. That takes prayer and loving care of people who support you in your process of healing and achieving peace. There's at least a couple of things that we've done. We've also, by the way, we have, with the Archdiocese of Washington, we have sponsored, I know, one retreat for victims of sexual abuse as minors. At least one or two people from West Virginia went on it. Now, that's it's a drop in the bucket, but it's something. We made it available. It's frustrating that we can't seem to do, or at least so far have not been able to do, as much as I think we ought to be doing to bring healing and peace to victims or help them in that process. But that's, I think, fairly typical around the country. It's not unique to us.
What are some of the ways that the diocese, you mentioned earlier about how the church has been taking many more precautions and whatnot, how has the diocese and how does the diocese continue to ensure a safe environment?
Since I've been here, we did institute fingerprinting for our church employees and Catholic school teachers, for example, priests, and do criminal background checks on them. Volunteers also are supposed to have that done. The on-site audits, where a third-party team, they're professionals and looking into best practices and what's actually going on in a place. They are now doing it every year in our diocese. The national standard is every 3 years. I don't think that's good enough. You learn what's going on when you visit places they're actually supposed to be implementing plan. That's I've been through that as a pastor in Maryland, and it was very helpful. And I had an excellent coordinator there. But we had 125 catechists. We had a full school full of teachers. We had Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, youth group. I mean, we had lots of adults involved with young people. The audits were very helpful in pointing out what we were doing well. For the most part, we were doing well, but where there's some deficiencies, you know. We had the criminal background check. It didn't turn up anyone who had been convicted of abuse. It did turn up, maybe half a dozen people who had driving under the influence of alcohol. And so you don't want to ask those folks to drive on a field trip. So it was helpful. So I find experience that those on-site visits are important. And we screen our seminarians. Thank God we're getting more of them. But we get a criminal background check on them too. What kind of person are we taking in? There's also the ongoing education we're going to start this year. You get an initial training, and then you didn't have to do anything more, apart from some monthly updates through what's called the Virtus system. The Virtus is good, but sometimes you need a little more shot in the arm. What we're going to start this year is for clergy and our school teachers an annual updating. It doesn't have to take forever, part of a day, but people who know what they're talking about have experience. We have to keep this in our minds that we want to protect our young people. We want to see them flourish and not to be handicapped by this kind of a terrible experience. You know? It's like in baseball. You can't take the eye off the ball. You have to keep your eye on the ball of child protection in our diocese. Those are some of the things that we are doing and are going to do.
How can members of the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston support Loudfest in the diocese?
I hope we'll get a reasonably good turnout on this Sunday for the event. But as it gets better known, I hope it raises again the awareness of people. There are folks to pray for. I have a mental prayer list of those who've been abused, both clergy and by family members, and just pray for them regularly, as well as I pray for perpetrators that I've known too. I should have mentioned one other thing we've done is that something called the Confraternity of St. Nicholas, which I think is quite a good initiative. I've made that known to the Bishop's Committee on Child Protection, and there is at least some interest there. We'll see whether it gets adopted nationally or not, but at least I think we do find some interest. Some bishops are quite open to that. And that's, again, bringing a spiritual element into our program for child protection, which has mostly been focused on actions to take, okay? And then you need that. But we're people of faith, people of prayer, people of engaged in sacrifice for victims and survivors, but also protection of those who are now young in our care. So I think that's Confraternity of St. Nicholas is a step forward in the right direction in that area, which I think is somewhat underdeveloped in our response to this.
Thank you. This is Adam Marquardt with Bishop Mark Brennan of the Diocese of Wheeling, Charleston.